Mike Tyson misspells the University of Cincinnati and then congratulates them for winning the Women's College Basketball Championship. That was UConn. R.I.P. Merle Haggard dying on his birthday, which in itself is a country song. And not one, but two Rockford Peaches are on the DL, and it's day two. This is Sports Without Balls.
Holy cow!
A perfect score. 10.2.
He had to the 2-0, now the 2-1. Line drive!
Hello again, everyone. This is
Sports Without Balls. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Sports Without Balls fans, friends, family, strangers, neighbors. Hey, it's episode 125. Wow, half of 250. It's Aaron Foley, your host, alongside my favorite co-host of the universe, Trish Sir.
I can't breathe.
It's going to be, listen, we got a low bar for this episode.
We are already off the rails and we're a minute four seconds into this.
I'm going to say this might be an entire off the rails episode. Trish, I'm looking to my right. We've got, she made a Starbucks run and another bakery run.
I'm going to go, yeah, listen, it's become wheat-free, dairy-free, soy-free, gluten-free Wednesdays when we record.
But it's still delicious.
It's heaven on earth. It's crack cocaine.
Can we give a shout out to where
Aaron McKenna's Bakery. If you're here in Los Angeles, it's on Larchmont. If you're in New York, it's called Baby Cakes. There was some kind of a lawsuit situation over names and partnerships. So it's still the same baked goods. But the baker is Aaron McKenna's here. And in New York, it is Baby Cakes in Soho. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's heroin. And yes, I paid $3.95 for a donut. But don't tell my husband because he'll get a little judgy.
$3.95 for a donut.
And $2.25 for a mini cupcake.
I'm going to write you a check. You gave me a coffee and a cookie. Let me get you a check out.
We'll do a Kickstarter for it.
We'll do a Kickstarter for it.
My fiance and I were in Portland recently at Voodoo.
Voodoo Donuts.
You know, we got like five donuts. And the guy's like, $9. And my fiance goes, for one?
Yeah.
Because we're so used to paying.
LA bougie hoopty doo process. Because they opened a Black Star, or Blue Star Donuts down on Abbott Kinney.
Oh, okay.
And that's L.A. process, honey. You'd think you were getting... did that come with tequila? That is one donut.
That's outrageous. Sorry. If you're new to the show, that's Aaron in the booth. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
Go Cards.
Go Cards. Game.
Opening day. Can we agree that opening day should be a national holiday, y'all?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
It's hard to go to work. It's hard to concentrate. It's just... It's too muchy.
I had a call... This is so nerdy, but that's the entire podcast, basically, anyway.
Yep.
I had to call an ESPN hotline because my fantasy baseball app wasn't working. And it was day one, and I was like, I'm already having a meltdown. I'm questioning all my lineup choices. And then it was just like, error, retry.
Wait, was there a real person? You got to talk?
Did Keith Law pick up?
This is what I didn't understand. I was like, does this work like a... That's why it's like, call this number. And I thought, if it was any other app, I would just, I don't know, delete it, start over, right? Yeah. But it was like, your information will be erased. And I panicked. I was like, do I lose my team? And so I literally called and it was like, this is the office of ESPN. I was like, what? And it was like, if you want ESPN.com, hit that number. I was like, I'm really literally calling ESPN.
And you're like, okay, while we're at it, I'd also like to pitch a great podcast as a series called Sports Without Balls.
Right after I get my app running. And it was like, I got a lady right away. She told me what to do and fix it. I was like, it was like the most surreal.
It's the power of the mouse.
Service.
The power of the mouse.
Yeah, it is the power of the mouse. I apologize for not doing a show last week. Last week I was traveling and I tried to disconnect. Trish, you're going to love this story. Aaron, you'll love this too.
I can't wait.
I tried to unplug for once in my life. I'm not even taking like a week off. I tried to take 2 days. Last week, I tried to take 2 days off and go camping with my girlfriend. I said it. Word committed.
Yay! Hooray. Flowers and joy just happened in this room.
Oh, it's just a unicorn just went through the office.
Just ran right through
and
here.
And then took a dump on the couch. What?
Oh, there.
We tried to camp because she camps.
You don't seem like a camper.
Do you ever try to have a conversation about camping? There's no middle ground. It's either you hate it or it's DIY.
Can I tell you that when my husband and I first started dating, 2 years in, really great friends of his who are now have become great friends of mine. Awesome humans. I love them. Couldn't love them more. They invite us to camp for 4th of July. And it was that line of demarcation in a relationship where you realize when my husband looks at me, pre-husband, looked at me and goes, hey, Travis and Kristen want to know if we want to go camping for the 4th of July. And I looked at him and he looked at me and I said, if by camping you mean a Hampton Inn, then fine. Because that's it for me, y'all. I did not get that gene. I'm a country girl. I love the outdoors. I love all things outdoors. But God did not intend in this day and age for me to sleep with nature anymore. I don't want to bury my own fecal matter. I do not.
It wasn't going to be that type of aggressive camping. Although she said we could hike into a place and camp. And I was like, ah, I got 2 days off.
So did you at least have a place? Well,
we went to Joshua Tree National Park. We got up at 5:30 in the morning. First of all, I didn't even know this type of camping existed. I went family camping for years. It's like you go in, you get a place, you hunker down, whatever.
Like a cabin, though, like a solid structure.
No, like actual camping.
Oh.
But this type of camping, it's called like first come, first serve. I don't know anything about camping.
Like Airbnb of camping?
Yeah. But it was stressful because we went to the, and we planned early. I guess you have to be out of your little area by, like, let's say noon. So we got there at 10. We got there at, like, plenty of time, right? And it was like panic camping. You'd pull over and go, are you pulling in or pulling out? And they'd be like, we're just pulling in. And be like, ugh. And then you'd, like, I'm telling you, we did this in four different places within the park itself. One woman got out of the car and started running between campsites because she could beat the cars. And I looked at Gwen. I was like, this is
not relaxing.
I have 2 days. I just want to sit in a tent, I guess.
No.
Not really.
No.
And then, like, look at the stars in a national park. We had to leave the park.
No.
There was no camping left in the park. But the problem was, this is how it relates back to sports people. Nobody panic. You know, it's like, we had this waiver wire thing. And yeah. I went into the park and there was like, no, sir. which is the point. I wanted to unplug. I didn't even do an episode last week, but I was like,
wait, can I tell you which I love about that statement? My husband just said, because I have a vault. I'm not trying to brag about where I'm at in my life, y'all, but I have a Chevy vault. And in my vault, it has 4G LTE wireless as a plan. And my husband goes, why in God's name do we need to buy separate wireless coverage for the vehicle? Case in point.
Yeah.
If he needs the MLB network and we've been abducted by the cast of Breaking Bad, because you know we won't be camping, honey. Not this group. But he was literally watching. Well, we'll get to the game.
Yeah.
We'll get to opening day in the
game.
I'm going to tell y'all my nightmare of how the national championship and the Dodgers opening day went down in my household.
All right. And I'll tell you how I watched the national championship. And we'll do that now. We need a sound effect. Wow, that was terrible. So March Madness is over. Villanova played North Carolina. First of all, congratulations to Villanova. Congratulations to North Carolina. Congratulations to the UConn women and the Syracuse women. All good games. Villanova, North Carolina. Arguably, I mean, I've watched a gazillion games.
Sure.
It has to be
top five all time.
I think top three all time.
I would give it top five. I mean, because to me, you know, you've got the for me as a Kentuckian, I know I'm very different. Yeah. The Leitner nightmare of Kentucky Duke.
Yeah.
Will forever be one of those moments. I'm like, I'm gonna vomit. But a great game. Like even if you don't like those two teams, you know that moment. There's those moments like the Steve Smart 2 second
Syracuse Indiana.
Yep.
Sure.
Okay. Great.
And then the another UConn one. But here's the
top
thing.
Top five, for sure.
Top five. All right, we can definitely do top five. I don't know if they top three.
And they haven't won since 85, so it made it so much sweeter. I mean, my gosh.
But my whole plan... All right, so I have like a nerdy writers group every other Monday, right? So I couldn't cancel, so I obviously was, you know, taping the game. And
I was scared to death to text you because you had radio silenced me. And I hadn't... Because I thought you'd be already like, are you watching this? And so you hadn't, and I thought, she's either on set... on stage, or like hunkered down. But I was
standing up. I would have canceled. But I mean, unless it was on the road getting paid.
Yeah.
But so in group where everyone comes in with like, you know, 10 pages of something. Someone's doing a screenplay, someone's doing a play, whatever, sitcom, whatever. So you have to be a part, you read it out loud, right? So you have to seriously pay attention.
Be present.
Yes. Because then you have to give feedback and stuff like that. And but thank God everyone's on a computer, right? So I'm like refreshing.
Oh yeah.
I'm pulling up ESPN like a junkie. And then, you know, it's like UNC's up by a couple. And I'm cheering for Villanova.
Did you have the live feed up?
No, I just kept refreshing scores.
You know, from now on, in the future, CBS Live, you can always have the game up during March Madness for free on your screen. Okay, we're back.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's what I was doing at the office. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So I keep refreshing, and all of a sudden it's tied, and I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And then I didn't see, because then we had to do a full thing, so that was 20 minutes, and the whole time... My friend was like, it was like a sitcom. I literally was like, by the time I check again, it's going to be over.
Yes.
So I didn't even see it go like 75, 72 or whatever it went, you know,
74,
or 69,
yeah. 69,
whatever.
Yes.
And so it was over and the next person was up and I clicked on it and I just like closed my eyes and I was just like, please make Villanova win. And I clicked it on it and it said buzzer beat and I couldn't react.
Oh.
I couldn't react. So I just was like, like I almost had like, it was like a face spasm because I couldn't even fist pump or because they know I'm a sports fan. So they would just be like, oh my God, you're not paying attention.
You're like, no, it was that good. Your script is that good.
Oh God, your script, your script. Woo! Your script. That's what I should have done. But it was... So then my whole plan is to go back to my house, and I thought, well, I'll watch some of the first half and then probably all the first half. So I started watching the game, and every moment was so good. I just watched the entire thing. I watched the entire thing.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't a moment from the tip-off to the ending. Obviously, the ending was glorious, but almost on both sides. But the game itself... was one of the best, like the most amazingly executed games I've ever seen.
I watched only in highlight form and then had to go back and rewatch it. Aaron's experience was similar, yet I was at home with all the normal capabilities to watch that game. I'm gonna quickly walk you through it. I get home from a whole day of blocking. I'm not trying to brag about my big life. My husband, it was his first day off, true off of a series. And I'm grateful he works like a Trojan, but it's his first day off of a series and he works 14 to 16 hour days since August.
Oh my God.
Okay. So my husband has now turned into the dude from Big Lebowski. He's wearing a house robe, making,
just letting it go.
Just drinking Caucasians at 10 a.m. I'm like, what's happening? And I walk in the house. I'm like, hey. And this is the classic thing, the passive aggressive thing we say to each other now is, what'd you do today? When we know you've not done dick all. Okay. And he's like, oh, yeah, I did the dishes. I'm like, I'm going to choke you. And he's like, listen, I made us dinner. I made ceviche and tacos. My husband's cooking's amazing. So he's like, I'll glamour her with food. He goes, so we can watch the game. And I'm like, yes, God, because I'm thinking of a national championship.
Yeah.
As much as I realized it was opening day for my Dodgers, not the most important thing against the national championship.
Yeah.
Dave McCool, my sweet husband, is always like, screw it if it's one of our teams.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's the love of the sport. Like, you got to watch this. Unless it's an evil blowout, you watch the game.
Yeah.
It's respect. Mm-mm. So I get my tacos, honey. I get changed, take off all my work chicanery. I walk in to the living room to see the Padres outfield. And I'm like, are you just going to check it real quick? Or he goes, what are you talking about? Honey, he's proud of that taco plate. I go, what do you mean? We're going to watch the national championship. And he goes, oh, babe, come on. Neither of us Villanova. Neither of us care about North Carolina. And I'm like, like, I love basketball. And he just, So I was a little surly. I was watching it with no sound on my laptop while my husband.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Time Warner, for, I wish to God we still had it blacked out. we watched the whole thing. It was in defense of the Dodgers. a 15-0 shutout, the largest ever in the history of opening day of baseball. So I guess we watched some kind of history.
It's the Padres.
I know. You don't have to rub it in, Aaron.
Wow.
We all
heckling
know.
From the booth.
But side note, everybody, favorite park. Trish Sarr's favorite park in all of Major League Baseball.
Aaron Brungardt's as well.
Oh, good to know. See,
it is a beautiful ballpark.
If you have small children, there's a beach in the outfield. They can sit and play in sand. Just kidding. They took it out.
They
took that whole beach out?
It's corporate seats now.
Shut the front door.
Pecco.
Pecco, that's I was about to say a bad, nasty word.
Yeah.
Wow, well, that's a bummer.
They just went down a peg. They do have good wine and a mini Whole Foods in there. But anyway, I thought it was one of the greatest games I have ever seen, truly, in the top five of all college basketball. And I literally had cold chills for those kids. It was awesome. And then, of course, I went on my NCAA rant about how they were all going to go home and barely to be able to afford Taco Bell that night, and that the coach was going to make an extra $6 million, and those kids weren't even going to be able to buy new Nikes.
Oh, I don't mind UNC. They're not my team. I actually don't like them. But I don't like Roy Williams screaming. I don't like that no one goes to class. I don't like this game. I didn't like any of it. So anyway, and also I just feel like they're always there and they always win. And if you're a UNC fan, I get it. They're good. But
you think Roy's going to retire? Anybody, what are we taking bets? Because he's got like the Jackson cherry has to wheel around now.
I feel like he's going to be on that sideline forever.
Until he literally dies on the sideline.
I feel like Krzyzewski and Roy Williams are going to be propped up.
Like Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Could see that.
And Peyton Manning will be on there too.
Blessing.
I just thought it was so, I actually thought a couple points I felt like, you know, when I was watching it, I was like, it really felt to me that like UNC had the better team. Like it had, I have to pull up their rosters.
Now, don't you think for a second, I don't mean that they had played sloppy ball. I don't think that was the case. I think for a moment that UNC did lazy ball. Like they underestimated them, which is shocking to me because I thought Oklahoma was an excellent team this year. And that sweet little Bahamian boy, what's his name? Buddy something.
Heald.
And I sent you that video. Did you see that? Did you watch the thing I sent you? I don't know if you did. It was the story of his hometown and where he grew up. And I was hysterical crying because
he and his seven brothers
and sisters like literally slept in one bed and they drilled a milk crate to the back of a piece of wood to make their own basketball hoop. I mean, it about make you cry. Anywho, and all of these sweet little children that are from, you know, underprivileged area in the Bahamas, which, by the way, side note, if I had to be underprivileged, I'd want it to be in the Bahamas. But it was just beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful story. Well done. If you get it, watch. We can put it up. It's on from ESPN. But it was so lovely. That kid is an amazing human and ball player. And, man, Villanova made him look like they weren't even – they made work of them. I mean, they just swept them.
A crazy blowout. And then in the final game, like, that dude – and then when I watched the UNC-Syracuse game, and that dude Johnson just, like, took over. And between – all right, here it is. It's between Barry and Johnson – Barry Johnson, and then of course Paige, who I've liked for a while. Those dudes felt like at any moment. And there was another one too. What was his name?
From North Carolina.
This is North Carolina. Maybe it was White. I don't know what it was. It felt like they had the potential to like. You know, it felt very. I got nervous as a Villanova fan, like, ooh, if they get up 5-6 points, it could easily go to 12-14 points, and that could be it. Because I just felt athletically they were just almost
superior.
Like a superior team. Then all of a sudden, maybe the first 5-7 minutes after the second half started, it seemed like Villanova just made the adjustment. And it almost seemed like they were just literally just willing themselves. Then Villanova goes up by like, at some point, there was something like 5 minutes left. And because I didn't know, I knew the final score, but I didn't know how it happened. They were by 10 points.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my God. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's one of those things because you watch so much basketball where Villanova felt like, it was harder for them to score. And almost it seemed like UNC was like a little bit easier, and I thought, oh, the ones that have a little bit more ease always wind up winning. Well, you know,
well, they were relaxed. They had experience. They seemed a little more seasoned, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were more prepped for it or pedigree. Period. Like the people that brought them there
there. Superstars. Like on that Villanova team, there wasn't like these crazy superstars. But I tell you what, they came together, and I saw the senior. Ryan, I mispronounce his name all the time. Arch Giacchino.
Yep.
I just nailed it.
Okay.
And that guy Booth, he comes off the bench. That dude Booth kept them together the whole time when Jenkins, the final scorer, was in foul trouble. And then you realized Ochefu. Then he was taking himself out of the game because he was tired. It was one of those things where it was such a team effort.
They're literally, to watch those boys play, it was just as a team. Even their clock management for that age, that young. Yeah. You realize, yes, is obviously there's some coaching is part of that, but you really saw those kids manage their clock.
Yeah,
which you don't usually see at that.
They were calm. They were collected. And so I saw this interview this morning with the coach, Jay Wright, who I've always loved. I always felt Villanova
calm.
In the last, I don't know, we were probably talking this before we started the brackets. I hate to use the word choke, but they've basically choked for season after season. One year they ranked number one, maybe even overall a couple years ago. They've been ranked 2, 3, 4, and the surprising early losses year after year
kinda
for Villanova.
Kentucky did, yeah.
But just and you're just so I never pick Villanova because we always discuss this, they're going to choke at some point, right? So to see them win was so exciting. And when Jenkins' shot goes in, there's that famous shot of Jay Wright just saying boom under his breath and then not celebrating.
Because he didn't realize there was time. He thought that there was time left on the clock.
Yeah, he thought there was time left. In this interview this morning, which is really cool, he was like, every single game, the refs go to the side table and they add in 0.3, 0.4. And I thought, oh my God, you're right. They always do. And he said, I think it was Kennell or one of those guys said, what did you guys talk about in that huddle? And he said, every coach in college ball, probably pro as well, but I think definitely going into the tournament, has got to play from if there's 0 to 5 seconds on the clock, 5 to 10 seconds on the clock, 4 to 8 seconds on the clock.
Sure.
He's like, so we knew the play we were going to run, but we had 2 timeouts. He's like, but we didn't even really need it. He's like, because we had that play. And he's like, we wear bracelets, and on the bracelets it says attitude. And he's like, what we mean by that is, if something happens, in basketball, you immediately are in control of the attitude of the next moment.
Sure.
He's like, so when Paige puts that crazy circus shot in, we all huddled. I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah,
and every single person said, attitude. And he's like, you just got to shift gears. And he's like, and that's a life lesson. Something can happen the day before, hours before, but you are in control of that next moment in your attitude. And I was like, oh God, I love basketball. And I love that dude. He's such a good coach. And I was so happy. And he's like, so we just all said attitude. And I'm sorry, I'm totally botching this guy's name. It's like Aaron. How can I cannot pronounce it? I heard it the guy's name 790 times. It's that little white dude that was really good.
Oh.
Arciano or Aaron DiCiano.
Arciano?
4 years starter. I remember watching him throughout the tournament, the last one. He just goes down the sideline, crosses over, they think he's gonna shoot, they collapse on him and Jenkins takes a shot. It was awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
And then I'm just a sucker for the stories, right? So you think doesn't get any better than that. And then they do that those Olympic stories where you're just crying, holding yourself
yes.
in the corner. the story on Jenkins was, they call him Big Smooth or something like that. His mom taught him how to play basketball.
Even better.
His mom is a basketball coach. And when he was about to enter high school or college, his mom took a job as a basketball coach in Podunk, somewhere, Virginia, Carolina, somewhere. And she thought he was going to go down a bad path. So she asked his best friend, who also played basketball, his family to take him in. So he has this adoptive family that took him in. He went to Villanova. Everyone said he was too fat to play because he was just like a huge dude. And Jay Wright was like on him, coached him, was almost like a father figure. He lost a bunch of weight. He got fit and all, like he's still like really big.
Yeah.
And so his family and his adoptive family was his real mom and then his adoptive family. They were all in the crowd. I had tears like, I was like, oh God, like what
That's awesome.
And this guy just like sinks it.
His confidence was like through the, I mean, but even when he was right after when he said, he goes, when I went to shoot it, he said, I knew I had no choice. And I was like, well, I think that's pretty much what everybody feels. But you were like, no, it's like, this is it. He goes,
I knew. Screaming, I'm open. Like, I'm open. I'm open. Like, wanting the ball.
And he said, I knew I had no choice but to do it. And so I thought, wow. Which, totally off topic and around the way, congratulations to the new 2016 Hall of Fame basketball, Hall of Fame inductees. I don't know if you saw that amazing list.
Oh, Iverson and Shaq. And
Tom Izzo is on
that
list.
Tom Izzo!
Because after the craptastic tournament he had, that's at least a really nice moment.
Had him winning the whole thing.
Yep.
Conversely, the UConn-Syracuse game wasn't much of a game, but I was proud of Syracuse because they were just getting their butts handed to them. And then I would say probably, I don't know, late third quarter, early fourth quarter, Syracuse went on a 16-0 run. And normally if you say 16-0 run,
you think something's happening.
You think it's going to be a buzzer beater, but it brought it back down to 20. And it was really good because it showed like a lot of heart and grit on Syracuse.
I didn't know nothing about Syracuse at all. Women's. We're on women's, in case anybody missed that switch.
We're on women's.
But their coach, honey, he is flair.
He is flair-tastic. Flair.
He reminds me, I don't know if you might be dating myself, but the genie from Annie. It was his name, and I'm not making up funny names. The character Punjab from Annie, honey. That's who
from Annie the musical?
Annie the movie.
Oh, Annie the movie.
I'll pull up an image on the Google machine for you. But
he sort of looks like a little CeeLo Green.
Yeah.
He had a little CeeLo Green in him. Fun dude, super positive, total swagger. I think he's coached there maybe 8 or 9 years, took him from virtual obscurity to the Final Four, to the final game. And Syracuse is the one that picked off South Carolina. And I had South Carolina in the finals against UConn, thinking South Carolina could give them a game. Not meant to be, but UConn, 4 national championships in a row, dynasty, absolute icons, and am I excited to see them graduate? I am, because they
need to go.
It's great for the game, but it's also just, you know, kind of bad for the game. But anyway, congratulations.
Go girls.
Brianna Stewart, Mariah Jefferson, 4-year starters, 4 national championships. It was unbelievable. And then they're doing the whole thing. Who's better, Diana Taurasi, Maya Moore, or Brianna Stewart? And I know Brianna Stewart's stats are right up there, but I'm going to pick Taurasi and Maya Moore every day. But Brianna Stewart, obviously, is just she's phenomenal. I mean, she drains threes and she blocks shots, like, without even, like, it seems so effortless with her. Anyway, she's amazing, and I'm psyched to see her in the WNBA. Trish, sir.
Thank God.
Tons of talent.
I take nothing away, and I'm thrilled that there is an audience out there that's psyched because
me.
I've become psyched for women's soccer, which unfortunately got a little bit of a tarnish this week.
All right, that's a good transition.
Well, I just want to say something about the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
Oh.
It's April 4th. Back up off my Kool-Aid. It's baseball time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Finish in March.
I know.
March
I hear you.
Why is it hasn't it gotten so shifty? Like
it's
really
super shifty.
It used to like they'd ishy do April 1. Ishy, but lately it's like they're just swizzing those ad sale dollars all the
way
through.
It should be opening day and March Madness final.
No, it's too much.
That's insane.
No,
that's stupid. No, I agree with you completely.
I also think the NFL shouldn't start till after the World Series, but that's just me.
I agree with that. I agree.
Get out of here.
I agree. But
week 5 of the NFL is more watched than the World Series.
That's not okay. Well, but I also think, you know, only us crazy baseball diehard yahoos are the hunker down. You get a lot of the like ishy sports fans that get psyched for football because they're told to, and it's less of a commitment. They only, you know, it's one Sunday.
I've been thinking that too. It's on the weekend.
Yeah.
Baseball fans,
we
it's
commit.
A work night.
Listen, we don't need to compare. Am I so psyched all year on for baseball? Yeah. Am I psyched for football season when it starts. Mm, yes.
I just would like a little bit of a buffer window. Just
now
a
I get you. Time. I get you. I'll agree with the March. I'm not going to agree with the football. All right. So women's soccer. You know, whatever. If you're first time listener, you have 124 podcasts to get caught up on me screaming how much I love women's soccer.
And she's yet converted me. I mean, she wasn't a huge convert, but I'm now really on board.
It's so fun.
They're so talented, except for the... How did you feel when they said the other day about the whole equal pay?
Equal pay. Well, you know, we sort of brought up a good point about this. And future guest, Alonzo Bowden. I'm so psyched about
that. That's so exciting.
We were doing a podcast yesterday, and we talked about the equal pay. And we were talking about, like, you know, it's hard because globally, because women's soccer is number one in the United States, but elsewhere, the men's teams just dominate in attendance and support. It's getting better.
Yes.
And so he's like, is that a factor? I'm like, well, yeah, I'm sure it's a huge factor. But it's one of those things where you're just like, as a woman, you're just like, what year? Like, do we pick another 20 years before everything's equal? 40? None? A year? Like, you're just so starved for equal playing time, equal money, just anything
equal.
Well, and
I find it ironic, like, if you're the best at something, like, let's just take it out of the world of sports, but supermodels, female supermodels just rank stupid dumb money over male models because no one gives a rat's foot. You could name, like, maybe two male models, anybody? I know, exactly right. But a female supermodel.
Derek Jeter.
Does he count?
He's very good looking.
But you know,
he's my best friend, like, and he doesn't know it.
Derek Jeter.
That's also happened in the last 124 podcasts, if y'all want to look in the archives.
It's my new theme song.
Oh, everybody.
Just want to play catch with Derek Jeter. Male model.
Somebody please isolate that.
Yes, please, please. Male model. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Our women's soccer are that level. I can't name you one current U.S. male soccer player because Donovan, he retired. So I don't know one single male, but I can name you four women.
Oh, yeah. I can name you a bunch of dudes, but it's just the thing is.
It shouldn't be about equal pay. It should be if they're being such assholes, it should be about revenue. If they're making it about revenue-based entertainment.
Isn't that what they did in tennis?
Yes, it's exactly what they did in tennis.
It's really, you know, it's one of those things where I have to go back and look because it was like, are they talking about like just United States? Are they talking about like
they were
globally?
Talking about themselves in the actual article. They weren't taking it on as a plight for all women in all sports. They were saying in our country, what women's soccer is in our country, men aren't even the men's team. They are the JV. No offense, but that's the truth.
It's just it's so crazy because when I read that article, I was like, "What do you mean we're not getting paid the same?"
Of course.
I just assumed we were or more.
But I think a lot of people are.
Then I thought, Jesus, how much were they waiting on to see if we won the World Cup to see if they could bring this lawsuit? Like, what if we didn't win the World Cup? Like, is it not enough to win everything else? Like, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
and really,
how much do you have to win to get equal pay?
And it may not affect them. It may affect the next generation of women. That's the irony of what's happening. It really might not affect.
Oh, this is a good quote. Tim Howard, who I loved, he was the goalie for the men's team for so long.
I love Tim Howard. He's on Good Morning America.
He said of the lawsuit, anytime, no matter the gender or the race, somebody feels that they're unpaid, it's a problem. And I feel they should fight for their rights no matter what. Other than that, they have their battle to fight and they should do that. Yeah, Tim Howard.
Tim Howard is precious. And he was on with Robin Roberts, and I could watch that man eat waffles. He's so cute.
First of all, he is male model.
Male
model.
I mean, he is a beauty. Twice on a Sunday.
The men get paid more just to show up than we get to paid to win major championships. Hope Solo.
Well, Hope, as long as you have an actual number to back that up, which I hope she did, because, you know, sometimes Hope says stuff and she's like, it's green here in Iceland or Greenland.
Hey, Carol, get up and Google how much everybody's getting paid.
Thanks, Carol.
Oh,
she might be high on a gluten-free, wheat-free, dairy-free.
She
likes those donuts.
She just left me a note that said, I like gluten in my donut, bitch. Wow.
Well, I didn't bring them for you, Carol. Some of us have gluten intolerance. You have.
I'm going to look up some numbers, but that's crazy. You know, obviously, when Hope Solo, it's like Hope Solo asterisk scroll down. You got to fact check that. You got to fact. You got to fact check
anything
H Solo
comes out of our mouth.
Abby Wambach, unfortunately, horrible news. Got a DUI.
She was drinking because she wasn't getting equal pay.
Exactly. She couldn't afford an Uber.
She couldn't afford Uber or a driver because she's not getting paid enough. And I think that right there is reason, America.
Here's the thing. Here's how I feel about DUIs. And this is men and women. My first thing is, like, you're a jackass. Take a Lyft or an Uber. You could have killed someone or killed yourself.
True.
Right?
True.
But then when, let's say, nothing, perfect case, like Abby Wambach, nothing happened. She was cooperative, had a little bit too much to drink. It's for me, man or woman, if that happened to Josie Altidore, and it pick any soccer, whatever, I'd be like, all right, you're an idiot, but eh. But what's doubly annoying and disappointing is, and it's almost unfair, but we have so few female, like, role models.
Yes.
And she knows she screwed up, and I'm sure she's obviously hugely apologetic about it. But you're just like, oh, it's double cringeworthy, because, like, this happened to dude athletes all the time, and you go, And you just kind of like,
let it ride. Yeah.
You just go, oh, yeah, that guy, you know. And the thing is, I get it. You know, DUIs, like, you know, I did it a couple times in my 20s. I got home and I vowed never. It scared the crap out of me. I put myself in a couple bets. We all are guilty of this, right?
Yes.
But then obviously, I never, like, you have to make a commitment to it. And also, even if it's just like, people are like, I don't have the money. Okay, Abby Wambach is sitting on a pile of cash. Like, there's really no...
Yeah, her not getting paid is inconvenient. The rest of the world's not getting paid. And I've said to people all along, my husband makes fun of me, because when I go out with my girlfriends, he's like, why aren't you taking the car? I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and Uber. He's like, you're a lush. And I'm like, no, I just don't want to negotiate the canyons or period, any road, after I know I probably shouldn't be driving.
Yeah.
I think that's a responsible human.
One drink, and I'm such a lightweight now, one drink and I'm literally altered. I could drive a car home probably safely, probably.
Is she? Yeah, right.
If I have two, which is my Aaron Foley two drink maximum, most of the time that happens. I should not be behind a wheel.
A lot of people shouldn't.
No way.
Yeah, a lot of people in general shouldn't be behind the wheel. Then you had alcohol, a law.
It's just unfortunate. And she's taking full responsibility. Like today, it came across my screen. It's like, the lawyer pleads not guilty. And I was like, wait, can
they
you
have
do that?
To.
And then it just said, my lawyer, Abby Wambach, my lawyer entered a not guilty plea on my behalf. This is a standard procedure. I'm owning this. Nothing's changed. So, I mean, listen,
they
she's doing
to.
Everything right, you know?
Where was she? Do you know? I did not look to
see. Portland.
In Portland.
Yeah.
They all get depressed in that rainy weather is what happens. Because, you know, Hope's up there beating her husband in Seattle. It's raining.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They've got to get out of that weather.
It is. It was one of those things where you're like, oh, come on.
I know. Wait.
You know, so, you can like...
Justify.
It is, I know that they call it like a crime, right? And it was an arrest. But it is the easiest one to get your head around. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's because we've all been there. Mm-hmm. It's not like someone gets arrested for murder and you're like, I can see some people just make me angry. Like, it's inconceivable.
Well, no,
Inconceivable. Although I do think, and I've been arguing this for years, that you should get one at least open hand slap a year without having or a punch.
My mom just calls it her porthole to hell list, and she said you should be able
once
to go
year.
Into church and go, I'd like to have a porthole view of them when they're in hell.
Wow.
My mom's like, I want a window so I can wave and go, ooh, you look hot. I was like, oh.
Wow, that's next level.
Can you make that request in hell?
You know what I forgot to do real quick, and then we'll move on? Gino Auriemma, the coach of UConn.
Amazing.
These stats, I just wanted to, and, you know, because they always go, oh, it's women's basketball. I just want to show you his stats, right? He has coached. Now, by the way, before he took over UConn, it was like a half an office, and no, there was maybe a basket. And they played in, like, a gym with a track.
Yeah, they had the crate from the Bahamas that Buddy played
in. Yeah. 31 season. Now, John Wooden, if you don't know John Wooden, coach UCLA, arguably, like, the greatest coach of all time. Everyone always just says John Wooden, and then you start
everybody
the conversation.
Else.
Seasons. John Wooden, 29 seasons. REM, 31 seasons. Wins. John Wooden, 664. REM, 955. NCAA titles. Wooden, 10. REM, 11. Longest win streak, 88 games. REM, 90. I mean,
wow.
It's unbelievable, those numbers.
I just got a cold chill on that.
Those numbers are unbelievable.
And yet, unfortunately, because it is women's basketball, he will never get that accolade.
But it's amazing.
Pretty amazing. Yeah.
Opening day, you guys.
Woo!
Opening day. Opening
Loves
day.
It. Wow, my Kershaw, honey, allowed one hit. That's right, Kershy.
God, I wish I had him.
That's the Padres.
Would you quit with the damn Padres?
Wow.
I grew up there. I've seen them. They're garbage.
Did your Cardinals win on opening day?
No.
Yeah, Waka Waka ate it
but
for
we did
the peaches.
Score a run.
Who do they play?
The Pirates. They're very good.
Oh, the Pirates are really good.
They are really good. I'll let that go.
I almost got Liriano, too. So this is what I've been doing. And Dodgers off to super hot start. Peaches, not so much.
Well,
but it's okay. It's just day three. For the second year in a row, I just don't have a catcher. My catchers decide to, I don't know, flip their hip out. Grandal.
Oh, I love Yasmani. Mm-hmm.
Forearm.
Well, he'll be right back. It'll take a hot minute.
All right.
He's a beast, honey. Don't worry about you. Don't worry
I'm
about
psyched.
Him.
No, I'm psyched for him. I'm psyched he's my catcher.
And he can hit.
As long as he avoids the HGH.
Yasmani.
He's been popped for that already. Yeah.
Yes, but he's gotten tinier since we got a hold of him. Have you noticed? I think that was... And I have a problem with that, BT Dubs. I don't think... And everyone needs to get over themselves. I know PEDs... performance-enhancing drugs for the folks at home that don't speak in acronyms. I think PEDs, if they are bioidentical and not like a synthetic, should be completely allowed, in my personal opinion.
Would you get some more over the fences?
Yes, you would. I think HGH, testosterone, if they need progesterone, I'm not going to be judgy. Whatever they need, as long as it was bioidentical and not a synthetic, I would have no problem with that in professional sports.
Is that like a gluten-free thing? Is that like a gluten-free drug?
It means it doesn't have any performance enhancing more than what your physical body can already make. So it only ups the level at which, like, if your HGH is low and you did, I guess technically bioidentical HGH on some level would have to be
synthetic.
How about
like an 8-ball about an hour before you go up to bat?
That might be a little bit of an advantage.
Anybody
what they were doing.
They were.
Yeah.
So I have one article, which we'll go over, but Ron Darling, I guess his book just came out about the 86 Mets and what they were doing in the clubhouse. Jeez. I love that. Like, I always go back to that when CC Sabathia checks himself into rehab. Day before the playoffs. And I'm like, everyone is hammered. Get back on the field. I'm going to reveal the 2016 Peaches, and then we'll talk about baseball. My catcher, Grandal, on the DL.
Sorry.
So I picked up Castillo.
Castillo.
He was on Washington. Now he's on Arizona. But now Hundley just got hot in Colorado, and I can play hot potato with my catcher until Grandal gets back. My first baseman, Mark Trumbo. I'm excited about this pick. You know why? Also because...
Did you take Agon? Didn't you ask me about Agon?
I didn't take Agon because someone grabbed him. Trumbo I took also because he... When you're playing fantasy, like you can do... Some people can are listed with different positions. And he's DH, first base, and outfield, which helps tremendously when you're playing. Anthony Rendon, second baseman, and he also identifies as a third baseman.
Is that like being gender neutral?
Sort of.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Machado, my love, my great love, third baseman of Baltimore Orioles. I kept him. Alcides Escobar, shortstop.
Great.
Logan Forsyth, Richard Foley's pick, second base, Tampa Bay Rays.
Former Padre.
Former Padre. Justin Turner.
Woo! He's going to do big things this year.
I got Justin Turner and Grandal for Trish.
Is he listed for third in a DH? What's he listed as?
Just third.
I'm going to tell you something. Justin Turner's going to do massive, massive things this year. And he got paid, honey, so he's going to do it.
Okay, good. Christian Yelich, I grabbed him from last year, too. Outfield, Miami, because he hits in front of Stanton. Conforto, grabbed him late rounds.
Oh.
I like him. I like him, outfielder Mets.
Yep.
Kiermaier for Mary Foley. I'm sure he's not going to do a lot, and I'll probably cut him mid-season. But that was I had to get him for my mom.
Was that her 80th birthday present?
Oh, my God. Can you just remind me when I'm done with my when my mom called me and said today?
I can't wait.
Socrates Brito. Listen, he could have a good year. He's going to platoon right now, but he's in the outfield of Arizona. Mm-hmm. And then I had to get some old man power, Jason Worth and A-Rod.
Well.
Just because I needed some pop.
Yeah.
Cut them. I have no problem cutting both of them.
Okay.
And then my sweet first pick, Jason Hayward, outfielder, Cubbies. Eric Hosmer, who I love, first baseman, Royals. Pitching, Bumgarner, Cole, Severino, Rondon, closer for the Cubs. Andrew Miller, who I love, Yankees. Colome could go either way, but right now he's pitching well. Eovaldi, Benoit, I'm probably going to cut. I picked up Cozart because I needed another one. He's going to be like maybe fourth starter from Miami, but he's got a big upside. He'll probably crap the bed. Walker, I believe in you.
Well, somebody
does. Come on. Drew Smiley, crap the bed. He'll be fine. And Heaney. Second pitcher, Angels rotation just went on the DL for 15 days, and I think it's going to be longer. Out.
You got to go. You're getting voted off the island, honey.
You got to keep your eye on Dodgers pitching.
Don't you worry. Kazmir
did well.
Woo! We're not mad at him.
So I made Mary and Dick Foley stop it. It's a supportive
there
safe space here.
There is a silent
here.
Point going right towards Aaron.
I made my parents co-managers.
Oh, and I bet you Mary Foley's taking this so seriously, honey. Did y'all get matching? And she made matching hats.
Trish, my mom called me about 2 hours ago.
Tell me you saved three. It. Did you voicemail or talk to her?
Oh, God, I wish I had.
Foley calls go to voicemail so we can play them.
Well, not to be Demi Downer, but my dad's been sick. So every time like my mom calls, I get panicky, right? So he's okay. But he was in the hospital, whatever. So you have to, so now I'm paranoid, right? So my mom calls and she always, you know, do your parents have like, or your mom have like every time for your, every day of your entire life when she speaks, do you think someone's dying and it's totally fine?
I always say everything my mom tells me sounds like cancer.
Yes. Yes.
It could literally be, honey, I go, what's wrong? She goes, they don't sell, Kashi products.
Oh, good.
I go, Mom,
good.
I can get it's you some on Thrive Market online. She's like, I just can't get to at Kroger.
It's so dramatic.
Wow.
My mom calls, and my dad has been sick. And she calls, and she goes, hi, Aaron. Do you have a second? And I'm like.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, you braced yourself. You pulled
and
over.
And I go, yeah, what's up? Oh, okay. I might have been too quick to say Souza was a buffoon in the outfield. He just hit two home runs, and his manager, I think he might need to take a second look at Souza. And I said, oh, God. I go, first of all, Souza was grabbed. He was grabbed. He's already grabbed. I said, I said, it's only day three. I don't know what's going to happen. And she goes, I'll tell you what. This guy Morrison, I don't even know where he's from. Dad, your father's already heating up the bus. This dude is terrible. This dude is terrible. That's a new one. Your father's already heating up the bus.
Can we please, I don't care if you and I together have to fly to Florida. We have to do sports without balls.
I need to get them on.
Oh, how do we not? They need to come out. We need to
your
sit them
father's
down.
Already heating up the bus. This is day three.
Day three, and the bus is getting warmed up.
Okay, and now I'm going to tell you this is the perfect transition, but then we'll have a little bit more.
We need T-shirts. I'm going to go ahead and copyright all this.
Carol.
We need to call a trademark attorney.
Okay, you're going to love this. All right, and then a couple more minutes of baseball, and then two more stories, and then we're out of here. I say this every week. First of all, go on iTunes, Sports Without Balls iTunes, leave a 5-star review.
Please, please.
And we'll read it on the show.
Can't
so I'm
going
to do that right now. Also, after that, I just want to thank everybody for your amazing donations. It's really coming together. But let me read just two reviews. Your podcasts are great, and I love the reality of your opinions. Trish, sir, makes me laugh until I cry. Keep them coming.
Oh, thank you. Was that Judy, sir, that wrote that on Mama?
It's Mara McD13. Whoever you are,
thank
you're wonderful.
Thank you, angel. Oh.
And I love this one. It's GOWD40, which
love
is hilarious.
That.
The line is no balls, but still to the wall. Love that. That's well hilarious.
Well played.
The only way I could love this show more is if it spawned a spinoff called Back on the Bus, starring Dick and Mary Foley. So thank you so much for those reviews. You guys make it all entirely possible. And thank you so much. I'm going to list the I hadn't put up the PayPal link in a while because I'm the world's worst at promoting my own show. But we'll put the link back up. And thank you so much for everybody's donations. I don't get like names. I just sort of get emails. I recognize some people's emails, but I haven't responded just in a general thank you to everybody. And thank you personally and everything for keeping the show together. And I will ask Trish to do it every 30 seconds. what do we think about, I did love that story. Ron Darling comments on drug alcohol use in the dugout 1986 Mets. This wasn't even remotely shocking.
No, they were doing, I mean, I would love to know what really went on. But like, did you ever see David Price, that it was a 30 for 30, they were talking about everybody's no-nos?
No.
I think it was their no-nos. Or was it Perfect Games? What have there been less of? Perfect Games.
Perfect Games.
So it was David Price, not David Price. I'm having
Oh, David
moment.
Wells?
David Wells' oh, yeah. Perfect Game. He said he pitched that perfect game so hungover, and I forgot who the guest was on Saturday Night Live the night before it was on a Sunday day. He said whoever it was a friend of his, and he went out with the cast after Saturday Night Live that night to the big after party. He said, I have never in my life been more hungover.
He said the first couple of innings, he thought he was still drunk.
Yes, he thought he was still drunk. And he goes, then I started getting like that dehydrated sick. He goes, and I was doing
I love David Wells.
Yeah,
so
it was
much.
The most amazing. And I thought, does that mean you're like the world's most amazing athlete? Or is it just like you're
with
such a
gut hanging
with
over
a
his
gut,
pants?
Yeah, like that you're just like everybody's favorite frat brother that was like, keep it together.
I mean, he's got Doc Ellis to contend with. On LSD.
LSD. Yes. That one was crazy.
And that was just a no-no, though, right? Yeah. I think of that every time I think of just, and that was minor. I mean, good night, he was just hungover. But you think about the guys that were probably out there high as kites.
Yeah, it says, greenies. I guess the greenies were the amphetamines.
Yeah.
But, you know, said 50% of position players are using them routinely, many of them before almost every single game. Chad Curtis, I remember he was an outfielder for the Yankees for like a hot second, but one of the World Series that we won, he played especially well in. Chad Curtis spoke after his retirement about the pressure on the fielders not to play the game, quote unquote, naked, and that's not to play without speed. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, hell. When did they start testing for PEDs? In the 80s? I don't remember.
About 20 minutes ago.
Right after they let Barry Bonds win everything.
Yeah. After Bud Selig raked in all the dough, and then they started checking.
Yeah, it was like 03 or 04.
Unbelievable.
It was.
Yeah,
it was the year after Maguire retired.
Yeah.
So it was 02.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was that late. That's why I argue Bud Selig is the worst commissioner of all time.
And amphetamines have only been illegal since maybe 08.
Shut the front. Yeah. I did not realize that.
And just like Adderall now, because of Chris Davis got, that was his like drug charge, but it was Adderall. He got booted for that because that's a PED. I think he has like a doctor's
You can get an exemption for it.
Yeah, but a lot of the team doctors prescribe it for both. Yes.
You'd think, right?
They do. In the NFL, it was a whole big, I have to bring you that story, that great story about Eben Britton, who was a big giant lineman for the Chicago Bears. And their docs would drop off their medicine cups, literally like they're at a methadone clinic. So every day as a player, they drop your like paper cup of meds at your locker.
It's like one flew over the cuckoo.
Yes, yes.
In a locker room.
As an athlete. And he grabbed the wrong cup because he and the dude next to him had like, it wasn't, you know, it's not like Peyton Manning doors with Bose speakers, honey. It was like you're up in this one big thing and your Barbasol and your, you know, whatever, Gold Bonds right there. And he went to grab the cup and it was the dude next to him. And the dude next to him got Adderall and he didn't. They're both linemen. And he had to do his, you know, normal drug test because I didn't think twice. Of course I peed in it because I don't do anything wrong. I do exactly what they tell me. And his had Adderall. He goes, either the dude dropped it. He trusted the NFL to say whatever's in that cup can go on my body because he was he's owned by the NFL. So he was like, I do what you say. I put in my body what you say. And he goes, my hand of God. And he got popped and taken out. And then he got dropped. And so his family's life. And it's an amazing article when you read the story because he's like, I don't even know. Like, yeah. I don't even know how to respond because they just, it's kind of like the NCAA. And then I was at a dinner the other night and I said to somebody, they didn't realize that the NFL is a nonprofit organization. And I told the person at dinner that the NFL is a nonprofit because they were talking about how the church, because that's the church is a nonprofit. And I said, well, honey, so's the NFL. And if you'd have seen the faces, and they were like, ebbity, ebbity, ebbity. I was like, and Roger Goodell makes $44 million a year. I was like, so he's the Joel Osteen, honey, of the NFL with his private plane and his come on over and give us some money.
Isn't it
amazing how America does not realize that it's literally organized like church?
Yep.
And that we as taxpayers buy stadiums. Okay, I'm just going to say all that and then I'm done.
No, it's true. It's unbelievable.
Roger might send the goons in to get me after this.
I did forget to tell you this. I was telling this to Aaron earlier. I got about 4 hours ago, my phone was like, boop, boop, boop. And I was like, what is this, like a weird Amber Alert? You know what I mean? Like, you know when your phone goes off with those alarms and you're like, it's an Amber Alert, so you don't know what it is? And literally it says, one of your peaches is on the DL. And I was like, what? There is an alert. It says Andrew Heaney placed on the 15-day DL. And I was like, and I just like burst out laughing. I was like, I love that there is now a like an alert when one of my peaches goes down.
You're like, oh my gosh, am I late for a pitch meeting? No, I've got a peach on the DL.
My peach is bruised. My peach is bruised. Get back.
All the
fun. Get together.
The fun. I'm going to have to order you some kind of peach paraphernalia. You're going to
know. I've got to get like, oh, speaking of which, all right, let's do this. And then I don't know if you saw this play and I'll post it, but. The crazy slide rule from last year, the Chase Utley rule, breaking the Tejada's leg, was enforced for the first time.
Sally Sullivan posted something about this. Okay, so wait, what happened?
So the Blue Jays are playing the Tampa Bay Rays, and it's the Rays are up, but the Blue Jays hit like into a, should be a game ending double play.
Bases loaded,
but you know, a couple runs come in or one run came in anyway. So Forsythe, it was a ground ball to like, I think Longoria. He throws to Forsythe at second, tags the bag and he does his spin move and Bautista slides in pretty much towards the base, but then reaches out with his hand and grabs the back of his leg quickly, but you could see him literally reach out with his hand and interfere with him. Now, I'm sure this has been done, you know, forever, whatever.
Since time began.
But it threw Forsythe off, and he overthrew the first base, two runs scored, and now it's 5-3, or 4-3, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so the manager, was it Cash, I think? Kevin Cash, the manager of the Rays, was like, hey, I want you to take a look at that and see if that's, you know, applies to the new ruling of interference, how you can't go near the, you know, the baseman. And they're like, yeah, it's interference. And the game was over and Tampa Bay won. And the Blue Jays were pissed. They should be, but
is the new rule that if you physically touch them in any way?
No, you just have to really impede in a non-baseball manner, you know what I mean? You're basically going after the guy. You can't go after the guy. But his hand was out grabbing him. I'm sure it's been, you know, it's only now being called. Let's just put
it
that
way. Right, it's like flopping in the basketball when people do the nasty flop and it's a foul. And it's so, yes, okay.
So, listen, it wasn't an ideal. I wish it happened during the game with no circumstance. You know what I mean? Because it was a really hard way to lose. P.S. I can't stand the Blue Jays. But, and I don't like Bautista, but I know he's amazing. It's just that bat flip and the attitude. I'm like, whatever, dude.
But didn't the Blue Jays give up Syndergaard to go to the Mets? Wasn't the Blue Jays? Wasn't that the trade that got Syndergaard to the Mets?
Probably.
We have to like the Blue Jays for making bad decisions, right? Because I only would know Syndergaard if it was not for you and your peaches situation. And now I
still
follow
cannot
him.
Believe I don't have Syndergaard. It still kills me to this day.
I still watch his flowy mane and think of the peaches.
Oh God! Anyway,
we're back.
So the coach of the manager of the Blue Jays, John Gibbons, was obviously, you know, just ripping everybody a new one. I totally get it. And he's like, it's turned the game into a joke. It's flat out embarrassing. They call just when I get all of it. And then at the end, says, maybe we should all wear dresses tomorrow. Maybe that's what the people want.
To be fair, Joe Madden might have the Cubs doing that at some point. on the plane.
True, maybe.
Yeah.
That's his
that's his rally. I like
in a good way.
Jammies.
In a good way, not in a sexist, stupid bullshit.
I wish
way.
He made everyone play in footy pajamas. I would have so much more respect.
Yeah. And so I literally was like, all right, listen, you know, not the best comment, but like, you know, that's like old school, stupid,
dumb. It's just dumb, ignorant,
you know,
old man
dumb.
Stuff.
And I was like, eh, I didn't even really think anything of it. Although, of course, everybody, fans of the show, are like blowing up my Twitter. Like, what do you think about it? Obviously, it's just stupid and dumb and sexist.
It's
and stupid.
Dated. It's sad.
It's dated and stupid.
He'd be like, I'm going to tell everybody in the Snap tweet about that. He doesn't know. He's an idiot.
Also, I mean, not to be redundant, but go watch League of Their Own. They slid like motherfuckers in dresses.
Yeah, they did.
Go F yourself. But this is when I was like, all right, this dude is just digging his own grave. He backed up his comments.
Oh, don't
And
do
he
that.
Said, I cannot understand how it would offend anybody, to be honest with you. It doesn't offend my mother, my daughter, my wife, who have a great understanding of life. I do think the world needs to lighten up a little bit. Well, thank you for revealing every woman in your life has a great understanding of life.
They all seem like sages, honey. I don't know that he has his understanding of life, and I think they all just understand him to make sure that check comes in.
Yeah.
But let me tell you why. Yeah. Let me tell you why your wife, your mama, and your daughter understand you, my angel. You're out of town 8 fucking months out of the year. You also can live on the per diem check, and the check the MLB pays you goes home to them, so they can enjoy their nice life and their gorgeous dresses without your ass at home, and you can eat at the Golden Corral and be an asshole.
Mike Drop Gibbons.
Yeah.
Sorry, Annoying. All right, one little quick thing before Feel Good Moment of the Week, but
and I apologize for dropping an F-bomb. He worked my nerve. I apologize.
Whatever. It's
rough.
Just it was one of those things where you're like, it was I went from non-equal pay to women's soccer to him being like, we're gonna wear dresses, and I was like, are we going back in time? We're going back in time.
What an idiot.
Okay. Anyway, let me review the list of Blue Jays I have. Oh, I don't have any. I don't like the team. Although I like Stroman.
On the subject of uniforms, though, what do you guys think of the Arizona Diamondbacks?
What is going on over there? Oh, awful.
It kind of looks like softball uniforms.
Have you seen them?
We talked about this. Were you on the episode where we talked about the show? Oh, we went through every single angle of those, I don't know, Ninja Turtle outfits.
That's a Ninja Turtle.
They look like Ninja Turtle.
I'd rather us get back to the Randy Johnson days, honey, when they look like they were missing from a Menudo video.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to do the story again, but that was one of my lines. I screamed at that asshole that attacked me in Burbank Airport for liking the Yankees. He was an Arizona Diamond fan, and he was so awful to me. I did nothing wrong, and if you've already heard the story, I'm sure people, but anyway, I screamed out in a rage as my girlfriend was pulling me onto the plane, your uniforms are purple and teal! And then I got pulled onto the plane. Grayson Allen, Leightner Light on Duke, it came across my BuzzFeed. Grayson Allen returns to Duke next season. I was like, no shit, he's not a pro. He's not on pro level. Also, I think he feared that the Lakers were going to pick him up.
Exactly right. No, he is not a pro player.
He's not a pro. I was like, it's irrelevant.
And I don't know if he came from money or not, but most people that aren't, if you've got money, you name your baby Grayson.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to finish because I would almost bet my mother on the fact that baby's a legacy baby at Duke. Oh. I don't know. I'll look it up, but I'd put money on that.
I also put money that an uncle or a father played lacrosse.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Listen, it's not a surprise. It's not going out on a limb, but the feel-good moment of the week, it's the Villanova Wildcats.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, tears of joy running down my face. Also, UConn, like, it's just that they won every time, so I thought the true feel-good moment of the week was the team play of there's no superstars. There's no one going to be in the NBA. You know, all of Kentucky goes in because that's what they do, and that's not a slight, that's an amazing thing, how all these teams that usually win national championships, half the team go to the NBA, and Villanova, you don't even know their last names, and it was such a true team.
Yeah.
I was so happy for Jay Wright, I was happy for Villanova basketball, because I'm always going back to like Big East, old school Big East, and it was, I thought, such a feel-good moment for everyone, because we got a final that from the opening tip-off to the last, you know, buzzer beater was one of the best, truest basketball games
I've
ever
seen. It felt like when I was in high school, how I felt about the NCAA championship. That I haven't felt that way. And look, I've been a Kentucky fan my whole life, and it reminded me of the Seton Hall, St. John, like that era of when the smaller market, for lack of a better word, smaller market schools, the just kind of obscure ones, which Gonzaga used to be, but now they're like, you know, they're the Los Feliz of the NCAA. You know, it's like there's all these, you know, these hipster obscure schools. It's like it literally has become like craft beer. It has. Yeah. That's what the NCAA has become. But Villanova has been like your fun cousin that you're like, oh well, no, but we hope they get married. They did. They did. Yay, Villanova.
Randomly, my cousin went to Villanova. That's why I always cheer for them.
It's always someone's like obscure story.
Totally. So congratulations, Villanova.
So
feel
excited.
Good moment of the week. That is our episode.
Woo!
Where are you? Are you on the road? You're in LA for?
I'm here.
Right?
If you're bored across the country and want to watch me on Hollywood Today Live, I'll be doing that fun mess.
That's awesome. I love that.
I put on a whole bunch of makeup and curl my hair and look like I know what I'm talking about, y'all. I'm putting on a dress. The rest of the time I'm here cussing and talking about sports. Woo!
Yes. I'm going to be at one of my favorite comedy clubs this weekend, Dead Crow Comedy Club in Wilmington, North Carolina, Friday at 7 and 9:30, Saturday at 7 and 9:30. And listen, there's an Azalea Festival this weekend.
I love Azalea.
The ticket sales might be a little low. So I'm competing with a flower.
Hey, but it's the prettiest one.
Yeah, it is pretty. I got a note from the club being like, hey, help promote. There's an Azalea Festival. And I almost threw myself off the balcony. So anyway, that's fine. Dead Crow Comedy Club. And then go on Aaron K. Foley because I'm going to be in Halifax. I'm going to be in Austin, Texas. I'm going to be in Albuquerque. Fun stuff coming up. A huge thank you to All Things Comedy for supporting us. Aaron in the booth.
We love Aaron.
Also, a thank you to everybody that has donated to the show. I will put up the PayPal. $10, $5, $1 million is all it takes.
And I'll go set up all our social media so
and
you can
Trish
actually
And Trish is now in charge
of
all of our social media. We're taking the show places.
We're taking it back. We're taking back the night, honey.
Sports with All Balls. Fans, friends, family, have the best week of your life.
Yes.